Sairam, dear listeners, hello and welcome to yet another segment of Love to Love, live from Prashanti Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the world. This is Chandu Vijay from Team Radio Sai, and I hope you're having a wonderful summer. Well, though it might quite be an oxymoron to the Indian audience who are going through a blistering summer, we all know that if we have our beloved Swami in our hearts, at the time when His cosmic tales are spreading far and wide, even summer afternoons could be as soothing as a moonlit winter evening. So this week we celebrated the birthday of our dear Lord's earthly mother, Ishwarama. Year on year we have heard and talked a lot about the Divine Mother, and this time I wanted to see what could be the one take-home message from the life of that saintly mother. Now before I commence the show, let's mull over this. We all know satsang gives us inspiration. You know, recalling experiences of stalwart devotees and pious souls like Mother Ishwarama gives us glimpse of divinity in numerous perspectives. But the riddle doesn't end there, for He is infinite. He wants us to seek divinity within. And if a tiny bit of reflection on their lives will help us introspect our souls and better, then what better way than relive few of Mother Ishwarama's experiences and take away cues for our own improvisation, right? So fasten your seatbelts, dear listeners, as we take a ride to the good old days.
Bhakti Bhakt Bhagavant Guru Chatush Naam Bapue Tin Ke Pad Vandan Kiye Mitat Vighn Ane
उपदेश प्रभु ने हम पे किया
Ishwaramma, Mother of the Lord, the Chosen Mother, and so we hail her with different titles. What it must be to be the One. You know, that was my first thought, because I likened her to the yesteryear Mother Kausalya, Mother Yashoda, and Mother Devaki. Hymns proclaim, Na karmana, na prajaya, dhanena, tyagena ke amartatvamanashuhu. Which means neither action nor progeny, not even wealth bestows immortality. It is only sacrifice that holds this honor. And even as we mention their names, we know this is what they have stood for as well. Blessed with the fortune of being the Lord's mother is a miraculous boon, no doubt. But Mother Ishwarama herself did not relish any of these adulations. Because as Professor Kasturi described, she was chosen as mother as not only rewards for her past, but also in appreciation of what she is capable of in this life. And as yet another May 6th adorned our calendars, and we think about our Master and His Mother's services to the mankind, my mind goes not to what they did, or what they experienced, but what sterling characteristics they had in them to do what they did. For isn't that what we need to emulate their ways? So dear listeners, let's try to relive few experiences now and see where it takes us.
Oh,
Welcome back, dear listeners. You know, Mother Ishwaramma once said to Srimati Peddabottu, who was like one of the very fortunate devotees who had the great good fortune of being the contemporary of both Shirdi Sai and Sathya Sai. And this was when Swami was about 9 months old. So Mother Ishwaramma said, I had just given him a bath, applied vibhuti and kumkum dot, gave a jhula a swing, and turned to get milk. He suddenly cried, and that came as a surprise, for he has never cried until that age. So I placed him on my lap, and he stopped the wail. I saw a halo of light around him. The light did not hurt me. It was so cool, though it was bright and near. I sat still and was lost in delight. I was completely unaware of the surrounding until my mother-in-law came to me and I woke. So, dear listeners, that's how the little Satya had revealed his cosmic side to his young mother. However, as years went by and Satya had won admiration and adoration beyond the Puttaparthi village, as a mother, Mother Ishwaramma was torn with worry. She constantly did rituals to ward off the evil eye. Swami's emphatic words rung in her ear all the time. Swami said, no one can harm me, but she was still a mother and her perplexity continued. So once the Divine Mother was so caught up in her love for her darling son that she rushed onto the stage during a play called Kanakatara in order to save him from an execution scene. So dear listeners, from these episodes, we come to realize that as a mother and as a devotee of her son, she had to constantly battle against Maya, one of the toughest lessons of the Lord indeed.
Oh,
Welcome back, dear listeners. In her later years, as the mother recounted a few of her experiences, she indicated clearly that how in her life the facade of Maya has gone for a toss. So let's recall one of those celestial experiences. You know, Puttaparthi's old name was Gopalapalli, and it was a Gokulam in itself because the beloved land cradled Satya in her bosom. And one's mother, Ishwaramma, told Professor Kasturi that it must have been the name that must have drawn Krishna to be born again on earth. How else can I explain the strange ways of the boy? It was a dark evening during the Uttara monsoon, and Venkamma, our beloved Swami's sister, was building a house. So few wet bricks were yet to be baked. Though the firewood was ready, they could not light, as the day was inauspicious. And if there was to be a downpour, all the wet bricks would end up being a mound of clay. So a helpful neighbor said covering them with dry sugarcane leaves would help, but they didn't have dry sugarcane leaves then. And a long line of men, women and children started running towards Sitravati River in order to get some. And Swami too joined the line of volunteers, but he stopped in the middle of riverbed and shouted, "Venkamma, the rain won't come." See, that's all it took, a few quiet words, a small palm directed towards the sky, and the rain clouds scattered away in the wink of an eye. Nobody got those leaves because they had the Lord of Elements with them. There was a beam of pride in Mother's face as she narrated it, and Kasturi could only give an apt reply. Lord Krishna has saved this Gokulam by lifting his little finger.
Hey,
Welcome back, dear listeners. Once when Swami's mother Ishwaramma and his father Sri Peddavangama Raju came to meet Satya after he proclaimed that his mission had begun, Sheshamma Raju, who was Swami's elder brother, who still couldn't come to terms with Swami's words, pointed at them and asked, "Then who are they?" And then Swami very concisely said, "They are Maya." And as much worried and startled Ishwaramma was, she couldn't let go of her dear Satya. "We are in Maya, we are Maya, but you are free from all this. We will not interfere, we will not argue. You can be whoever you are, but Satya, not in Himalayas or caves. Promise me that you will be here at Puttaparthi." And Swami gave his word and returned to the town the following Thursday. Professor Kasturi says that with that one word, Maya, Satya had opened Ishwaramma's inner eye to the truth of truths. And when people from Kuppam district started calling her Satya as Swami, it took a few months to get into the flow of things. But of course, she liked it much better than Baba, which made him seem so distant and unapproachable. And whenever she saw Swami surrounded by a lot of people speaking about their problems, she fervently prayed to God that whatever answers Swami gave should be correct and satisfying. There was also a rumor afloat that this Swami consciousness would soon fade and life for Satyanarayana Raju will become very difficult after that. and this made her frantic, and she prayed more earnestly that the miraculous and mysterious part of Satya should never go away. Like this, it was always a pendulum play for the mother. One time an enthralled devotee and another time lost in motherly affection. So once when Swami decided a travel would do good to broaden her horizons, Swami took his mother to the Mysore Zoo, the Madras beach and many more places. And she was seeing the sea for the first time and she was elated. You know, Swami had described the ocean to her in epic terms, for wasn't that the same ocean which Rama and his monkey hordes used to cross in Treta Yuga? She was touched and marveled at the majesty of the Lord as she breathed in the beautiful, far-spreading sea and the colorful sky that sprouted wondrous evening hues.
भगवन तेरा घराना, हमें तो है बस आना जाना, अनजान राह का ज्ञान दो साईं मुझे
all heard Swami saying that your ananda is the food that sustains me. And Ishwaramba has worried times without number over Bhagwan's food intake, because she is to exclaim, how can our ananda be his ahar? Once she, her daughters and few other women devotees were there with Swami as he ate. And Swami ate very small quantity and he was not even relishing the food. So Ishwarama is to wonder, how could he derive sustenance from this anandaless atmosphere? She prayed, she protested, but all was in vain, and Swami just took few mouthful to appease them and he rushed out to his work. And at another time, when Mother Ishwarama's husband, Swami's beloved father, when he passed away, she was very balanced. She had Swami with her. And she listened to the message that Swami had written in Sanatana Sarathi. Swami had written that avatar confers the status of father on the person of his choice, and that this honor is conferred only once in an era of time. She was confirmed beyond doubt that the fortune had been bestowed on her as well by the Son himself. And once when Swami's Africa trip reached her ears, she was in despair. She worried about her little Satya and wanted him to cancel the trip. And, you know, even Swami did nothing to ease her out. He rather enjoyed frightening her even more and spoke about storms that would batter the plane when it flies. And Swami even said that this was a 4-hour journey into the past. You know, not much was known about Africa in those days, and the popular impression about the dark continent was that it was full of wild animals, savages and cannibals. And Ishwarama had heard this folklore and she feared that Swami would be in danger if he went there. And so she tried her luck with so many people telling them, you know, please tell Swami to cancel his trip. But they all replied, you know, Mother, do not worry. Swami will be visiting only the big cities where he'll be absolutely safe, and no threats from animals or savages will be there. And once she became so furious listening to these answers, she said, you fool, I know Swami is God and you know he is God. But do those savages and wild animals in the Africa, do they know he is God? Dear listeners, such was her innocence. And in the later years, during her conversation with Srimati Peddabottu, she whispered, you know, our Swami is really God. And Srimati Peddabottu laughed, and Ishwarama said, when she was sick with fever for almost 4 days, Swami had come to her and asked how she was feeling. She replied that her body was aching. And then she said, when I looked at him, it was not he. It was instead Sri Ramachandra with Kiritam and Kodandam. I tried getting up, but in a few moments he went back to being Swami again. Such was her innocent love for our beloved Lord.
Thank you.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Let's now recall an experience of Srimati Vasumati Devi from the archives of Radio Sai. Well, she is currently the president of the ladies' wing of Sri Sathya Sai Seva organization in Andhra Pradesh. So she says, one of my relatives who was in Prashanti Nilayam wrote to me informing that Swami was going to create Amritam on the Vaikuntha Ekadashi day. Not only that, I learned that he would put the divine nectar onto every devotee's tongue with his own divine hands. By the time I received the letter, there was hardly any time left. The festival was just a couple of days away. And in those days, there were no telephone lines to help me organize the trip and travel facilities were minimal. To reach Puttaparthi, one had to change an array of buses and trains. Because of such trying circumstances, we always had to think twice before making the journey to Prashanti Nilayam. And since I wanted to start immediately, there was no one ready to accompany me on this journey either. So reposing faith in Bhagwan and picking up my courage, I traveled for 2 days, changing 7 buses, and finally reached Puttaparthi at 8:45 p.m. on the Vaikuntha Ekadashi day. When I entered the ashram, the residents of Prashanti Nilayam showered sympathy on me, saying, "Oh, you have come only now. Swami has just finished distributing the Amritam and has retired upstairs." I was crestfallen, but immediately the thought of the compassionate mother Ishwaramma came to my mind. It was my good fortune that she was residing in a room next door, and she used to call me Iluru Papa, meaning the girl from Iluru. So I dropped my luggage in front of my room and went to mother. Even now, when I recall that scene, my eyes well up with tears. Mother Ishwarama's anguish in noticing me was severe. When she asked, "My child, why have you come so late?" My grief melted. I was so happy that she spoke to me, and I related to her my difficult journey, and then she sadly replied, "What a pity. Swami has just gone upstairs." The next moment, she held my hand and hurriedly led me to the first floor of the mandir. So there Swami was sitting at the dining table and was about to take his meals. Mother asked me to wait at the door and went inside. With great concern in her voice, she said to Swami, "Iluru Papa arrived just now after changing 7 buses. I could hear the conversation standing at the doorstep. I was gripped with pain as I felt I had disturbed Mother in that odd hour and was also apprehensive about Swami's reaction. Swami then mischievously smiled and said, "Did the girl ask you to recommend her situation to me?" Mother replied, "No, Swami. Papa never asked me to do this. I myself took pity and brought her here." And then, with a bewitching twinkle in his eyes, Swami said, "If that is the case, poor girl, take this bottle and give her Amritam." With motherly intimacy and a gentle frown, Mother said, "What? I have to give her Swami? Did Papa come all the way to Parthi changing 7 buses to have Amritam from me? No, I will not give it to her. Swami, you have to give it to her." Swami smiled at this compassion outpouring of the mother, and after finishing his meals, Swami was full of smiles and charm and told Mother, "I myself will give this to her." Then Swami came to me and asked me to come forward. "Please open your mouth. Just because I asked you to open your mouth does not mean you should swallow the bottle. I will put the Amritam, swallow it." So saying, Swami joyfully put Amritam in my mouth. My bliss was beyond description. When I recollect the trouble Mother had taken to get me the Amritam, I understood there are no boundaries for her love and concern. She goes on to say that it was her great fortune to enjoy the generosity and zeal with which Mother helped them in all ways possible. Dear listeners, on the 6th of May 2001, Swami declared, "Ishwaramma was the chosen one. I chose her to be my mother." That is the intimate relationship between Mother Ishwaramma and myself. Once few devotees asked Swami to grant them the opportunity to perform puja to Mother Ishwaramma, who was seated beside him. Swami initially refused, saying, no, don't call her, as she will start recommending people. But the devotees persisted until Swami gave in, and Mother Ishwaramma reluctantly agreed to their request. All the while puja was going on, Mother was intently watching the members of his family from West Godavari, and as predicted by Swami, she started recommending, saying, "Swami, that boy does not study. Please give him vibhuti so that he gets good marks. And Swami, look at that poor girl. She has been suffering so long. You must cure her," and so on. The genuine love that Mother Ishwaramma had for devotees was something very laudable. She spoke sweetly at all times. Her words emanated patience and forbearance and was fully free from pretense, with no sharp edges to hurt the hearer.
समझ ना आई, सर गए वो जो सम जन्म मरण के फिर से बच गया झलक है जिसने पाई जन्म मरण के फिर से बच गया झलक है जिसने
Welcome back, dear listeners. Let's now listen to how Swami described the last day of Mother Ishwarama's sojourn on earth. Swami says, on her last day from the ground floor, she had called, Swami, Swami. And I replied, coming, coming, coming. And she was gone. This is the authentic consummation that life must strive for. Beside her at that time she had her daughter Venkamma and her granddaughter Shailaja, but she called out only for Swami. Getting this yearning at the final moment is the fruit of holy purity. It is the sign of an ideal, adorable life. Such attitude must emerge of its own accord and not by means of some external force. Such was the example of her love for Swami. Now for the introspection, Swami in his poem Letter from a Parent says, when I take from you your most cherished possession and you love me, know that you are near me. Through that, Mother Ishwarama faced this in her life. She had to come to terms when her very own Satya would tell her that he is not hers. That really was the mother's biggest test. And when we look at her life and the experiences that we spoke about now, what does it show? What is that one take-home lesson we could take with us today? Is it the need for detachment? Is it her love, her selflessness, or is it a combination of all this? You know, let's ponder over this question and we will come back to it after this song.
तो आओ साई मैंने प्रेम से जोत जलाई लो अब तो आओ साई चुन चुन फूल श्रद्धा से मैंने चुन चुन फूल श्रद्धा से मैंने प्रेम की माला बनाई तो आओ साई मैंने प्रेम से जोत जलाई लो अब तो आओ साई
साई
जोत जलाई लो अब तो आओ साई
जोत जलाई लो अब
Welcome back, dear listeners. So have you thought about the questions and their answers? Well, you know, let's look at them again. When we look at Mother Ishwarama's life and the experiences that we spoke about now, what is it that we see? What does it show? And what is the one take-home message from all this? Well, is it the need for detachment? Is it her love, her selflessness? Or is it a combination of all this? And the answer is yes and no. Of course, we need to strive and practice these sublime qualities in our journey to the divine. But that one indelible aspect of her life and devotion was that Swami was her constant thought. And that didn't hold good only when she lived. Because hasn't Swami told us how she used to come to him even when she left her mortal coil to ensure her little Satya is well and safe? So that is our key. Every breath, every word, every act of ours must be directed to him. And that is the legacy Mother Ishwarama has left for us.
Shri Diwali.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You know, Brother Satyajit, who had the great privilege of serving Swami personally, gave a talk at Sundaram, Swami's abode in Chennai, in the year 2012, post-Swami's Mahasamadhi. And in that talk, he mentions a beautiful episode wherein Mother Ishwarama visits Swami even post her physical sojourn. Brother Satyajit accounts this as a dream than a vision. So he says he was sleeping in his bed. When he woke up, he could see Mother Ishwarama talking to Swami. And he felt blessed to have had Mother Ishwarama's darshan and wanted to see what Swami was doing. And he just turned to have a look at Swami, only to find Swami directly looking at him. And then Swami asked, "Did you see my mother?" And Brother Satyajit replied in affirmative, and Swami just smiled at the play of events. And then in his Sundaram talk, after describing this divine spectacle, he goes on to say to the audience, who are still coming to terms with Swami's passing in 2011, that if Mother Ishwarama, out of her concern and intrinsic love, comes to see Bhagwan ever so often, even after leaving her physical body, then what can we say about our beloved Swami, who has the love of 1,000 mothers? How can we think that Swami is not here with us? He is always with us, everywhere, at all times. And as he concludes the experience, he further said, "If we still think otherwise, at the risk of sounding rude and pompous, I would only like to say that then we have not understood Swami at all. Hail the Lord and His infinite love. May His form reside in our hearts and His name dance on our tongues, such that our lives now and in the netherworld too would dwell on Him and only Him." So with that, dear listeners, we are at the end of this segment, and I hope you enjoyed the Ishwarama Day special. Do send in your comments and suggestions to listener@radiosai.org. Stay tuned. At 3:30 p.m. we will have the live Telugu segment, Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesh Jhari. And until next week, this is Chandu Vijay signing off with a prayer. May all the beings in all the worlds be happy, happy and happy. Jai Sai Ram.